Well, we are now here at the final sermon, and we're wrapping up this short three-part series that I had called the next chapter as we prepare to enter the next chapter for this church. And we began by looking at our responsibility as the children of God. We looked at Ephesians 5, 1 through 21. Apostle Paul tells us to be imitators of God. And along with that, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can move closer to being like Christ every day. Well, last week we looked at the story of redemption that's recorded in the letter to Philemon. We also saw three examples of changed lives so that we could see what a new life in Christ looked like. Philemon, Onesimus, and also the Apostle Paul, as they were all lost and then they were found because of Jesus. Well, today I want to talk about the attitude that we should have as God's church. We know what we are supposed to do, but what should our attitude be as we go about doing it? Well, our attitude should be the same as that old soldier, Caleb, as we'll read about him in Joshua 14. So let's go ahead and turn to Joshua 14. Our text today is going to be Joshua 14, 6 through 12. Now, at this point in the story of God's people, Moses had already died. Joshua took over as the leader, and the Israelites had crossed over, and they have conquered the promised land. There were a few outlying areas still left to be conquered, but as a whole, they have already conquered it. So now Joshua is tasked with the dividing up the land among the tribes. Now, for our daily scriptures this week, I had us read Numbers 13 and 14 to kind of refresh our memory of the first time they were staring at the promised land. As we remember that there were 12 men sent to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? All right. I guess I should have sung it, huh? Yeah. Anyway. Okay, well, they were turned away, and now they're back, and they have already entered, and Joshua is leading them. And the land is being divided up. Well, Caleb, he's not shy about what he wants. He goes up to Caleb and he tells him exactly what he wants. And we're going to read about that here in Joshua 14, 6 through 12. Verse 6, it says, "Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, and Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God.' And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now that the Lord has spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So give me now this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for great men of courage like Caleb and Joshua. I pray, Lord, you'll help us to learn from them so that we too can be courageous for you. I pray, Lord, you'll be with us through this sermon. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Give me this mountain. Caleb was not shy about what he wanted. And since he was an old war buddy of Joshua, he ended up getting what he wanted. You see, God blessed Joshua by allowing him to take over as the leader of the people when Moses died. Well, God blessed Caleb by giving him the land that he was walking on. So what made Caleb so special in the eyes of God? How was he successful in the Lord? Well, he had the right attitude towards serving God. And that is the same attitude that we should imitate so we can serve God with the right heart. We see in verses 6 through 9 that Caleb followed God fully. He had a different kind of spirit than those other 10 spies. Numbers 14:24 says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it." You see, there was something special about Caleb that made him different, and God rewarded him for that. Remember that the numbers were against Caleb and Joshua, as the 10 spies were going up against them with the bad reports against the truthful reports. Well, along with that, after the people were hearing the reports, they ended up with the entire nation basically going against Caleb and Joshua. So it was an entire nation against two people. Well, after facing the entire nation, it would have been understandable if they would have buckled under pressure and just gave in, but that was not their style. You see, Caleb had a different spirit, so he was not going to listen to those bad reports. He had a job to do, and he did it. His job was to explore the land and give an honest report of what was there. He told the truth, and the people rejected that report, but that did not sway Caleb. You see, he told the people that God promised the land so they would win if they would only just move forward, if they only had the faith to go into the promised land. The Lord had already given it to them. Of course, the bad reports did have some element of truth to it. There were giants in the land, but they weren't all over the land. They were just a section. But even with that, the giants that Caleb faced, he knew that God would take care of it. He knew that God was going to be with them so they could easily conquer these giants if only they would just move forward. And once they conquered those giants, they would be able to enjoy the best fruit they have ever laid eyes on. You remember how big that fruit was in that description? Numbers 13:21 through 24 gives us a good description of it. You see, the spies, they brought back a cluster of grapes that was so big, it took two men with a rod between them to carry the grapes back. That is definitely not those little bitty bags we see at Ingles. It's a pretty big cluster there. And you see, the reward was great for the people, but they didn't want to go through the work to get it. They didn't have the faith that God was going to come through for them. Well, Caleb faced giants, but he was not afraid. In the same way, David faced a giant. We know him. His name was Goliath. But David was not afraid of Goliath either. Remember what happened with David and Goliath? Nobody had the courage to face Goliath. So David went to Saul and he volunteered to fight. He said, "You know, the Lord's given us this victory. I'll go take him." Well, Saul allowed him to do it, and David ended up trying to put on Saul's armor so that he could enter the battle, but it didn't fit. Remember, Saul was head and shoulders above everybody. David was still kind of a runt at the time, a little shepherd boy, so this armor just wasn't going to work. So David decides to just go without the armor. He takes his trusty slingshot with him, goes out there, and what happens? Well, the Lord blesses him. Come to find out, the only thing he needed was a slingshot. Hit him right between the eyes and killed Goliath. Of course, we know the rest of the story. That little shepherd boy ends up becoming the greatest king of Israel until the king of all kings takes the throne. Well, before we get back to Caleb, I want to point something out here about David. You see, he tried on Saul's armor, but it didn't fit. So instead, he stuck with what he knew, and that was the slingshot. That was his weapon of choice. In this day and age of conventions, leadership retreats, conferences, a plethora of other resources available all over the internet, there's all kinds of stuff available for churches. Now, it can be overwhelming trying to figure out what works best for this particular congregation. Well, if we try to take on something that doesn't really fit this congregation, it could end up being just as awkward as David trying on Saul's armor. It just wouldn't fit. It just wouldn't work. You see, we should stick with what we know and then work from there and grow into other stuff. You see, David, he grew up to become the great warrior king, but he didn't start that way. He had to grow into his role. In the same way, it would be a good idea for the church to add certain things along the way, but we have to be careful and we have to grow into those things. Otherwise, it'll be very awkward, like David trying on Saul's armor. It just wouldn't work. Well, getting back to Caleb, we can see the main message in the life of Caleb, and that's the fact that fidelity to God trumps all. Fidelity to God trumps all. See, no matter what may happen with the people around you, you make sure you stay faithful to God, and God will remember you for that. However, we need to keep in mind that we may not get the reward as soon as we want it. You see, we have to remember, Caleb, he told the truth, he did everything right, he was promised the land, but he was not allowed to enter at that time. Instead, he had to go through the wilderness with everybody else. He had to suffer those 45 years before he could get what God had promised him. You see, sometimes, even doing everything right, you can end up suffering because of other people's mistakes. But we still have to be faithful that God will one day reward our efforts. You see, Caleb followed God fully, no matter what happened with anybody else. And we should too. We also know that Caleb was confident of God's strength. Let's take a look back here at verses 10 and 11, Joshua 14. It says, "And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming." You see, Caleb was the strongest 85-year-old in Israel. Of course, 85 years old back then was a lot different than 85 years old today. You see, we look at somebody who's 85 today and we see a man who's getting close to the end of his life. We see a man who is retired. He's slowing down. He's spending time with his grandkids. He's sitting on the porch and watching the sunset as the day goes by. You see, Caleb, he was not a typical 85-year-old. As I read the accounts of Caleb choosing his land, I am reminded of our good friend, Mr. Bob Knight. We all remember him. He's well into his 90s, and he still goes to his daughter's house to cut her grass when they're living down there in Noonan. You see, he's not the type to slow down and let life catch up, and neither was Caleb. Caleb had one more mission left in him. Even at 85, he still wanted to get back out there. You see, he had one more battle to fight. Instead of going for the land that was ready for him to live on, he wanted to go and conquer that mountain that was promised by God. You know, that's an excellent example for our church too. No matter how many years we have been serving, we should continue to serve because that's what God wants us to do. We still have lost souls to find, children to raise, a community to reach. Now is not the time to sit on the porch and watch the sunset. Now is the time to get out there and conquer Mountain City for the Lord. So what kind of strength did Caleb have? Well, he had strength that was designed for war. You see, Caleb was a warrior, an old military buddy of Joshua. And he was not about to let old age slow him down. As long as there was still land to conquer, Caleb was going to be out there fighting for that land. I believe that the word that we would use for this would be passion. You see, Caleb had passion for God. And that's what kept him going throughout those 45 years waiting in the wilderness. See, during those times when it looked like they would never find their way back to Canaan, Caleb stayed faithful to God because he knew that one day his time would come and God would be there to help him conquer the land. So what about us? Do we have that kind of passion for God? Are we ready to fight for the Lord and fight for his church? Unfortunately, the times have changed and we are now on the outside looking in. This nation that we have grown to love has now rejected God and it has turned evil. There's really no other way to put it. You see, this country may have some Christian characteristics at times, but overall, this whole country is way off base. And it looks like it's going to be a long road to travel before we can get back to where we need to be. So can this country get back to where it was? Well, it can with God. Of course, with God, all things are possible. But if we are going to get back to where we need to be as a country, we need to make sure that we are ready to fight for God's church. So we have to ask ourselves, is this a battle that we're willing to fight? Can we be passionate about God's church? Can we have the spirit of Caleb and conquer this land for Christ? The answer to that question will determine how far we go as his church. See, God gave Caleb strength, and he preserved that strength through the years. In verse 11, Caleb said that he was just as strong at 85 years old as he was when he was 40, when Moses sent him into the land as a spy. And he gives credit to God. You see, when God gives you strength, he will sustain you, so your strength will remain. And that's important to remember during those times when you feel like you're becoming weak. Especially when you feel like giving up, we need to remember that God is there to help you keep going. And that's when we need to remember that Caleb never gave up. And we shouldn't give up either. Let's take a look at verse 12. Caleb says, "So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said." You see, Caleb was patiently persistent. Remember that 45 years had passed before Caleb could receive the land that was promised. And during those 45 years, I can imagine that there were times when Caleb probably felt like giving up. He could have decided that God was not going to remember the promise, so therefore it'd just be all right, we'll just stop. But nobody would have blamed him. After all, he is human. But that was not Caleb's style, was it? You see, Caleb, he had a warrior's heart. And that is the heart of a person that does not give up. Now, I remember the first Transformer movie that was released about 8 years ago. During one of the scenes, a government official was trying to get in the face of a soldier. And he was just trying to, I guess, puff up and just try to put the soldier in his place. Well, another government official saw what was going on, so he went over and he told the guy to calm down. And I remember what he said. He said, "You know what? Losing is not an option for these soldiers, so you might want to calm down." You know, that's how Caleb was too. Losing was not an option for Caleb. And losing should never be an option for us either. We should approach everything we do with the spirit of Caleb so that we can do the very best we can in every situation. We should never give up because God will be there to help us every step of the way. See, Caleb had one mission left. He was not going to stop until he accomplished that mission. See, when he was exploring the land with the other spies, I have a feeling that he found the best land in the area. In fact, I can picture it in my mind where he's climbing up onto this mountain and he's looking out over all of this stuff and he says, "You know what, Lord, I want to live there." I can imagine him saying his prayer. Of course, it's not recorded in the Bible, but I can speculate on this. And I can just see him saying, "Lord, I want this mountain. This is where I want to live." Well, it makes sense because now Caleb is collecting on God's promise. You see, in some of the modern translations, we see the words used, and it says hill country instead of mountain. But really, in the older translations, we see the word mountain. In fact, in the Septuagint, it actually translates mountain. You see, the original word used here actually means to rise up out of the earth. And it was a singular word, so this would make sense. One item rising up out of the earth, that would be a mountain. That would make it simple. You see, Caleb wasn't looking for this section of mountains, this hill country, so that one day he could find some place to live. No, he had one specific mountain in mind, one plot of land that he already knew. He knew exactly what he wanted, and he was asking God to get it. Like I mentioned earlier, this was a mountain that was already occupied. So he was going to have to drive the people out, but they didn't care. He didn't care. He wanted this mountain, and he was willing to fight for this mountain. In the same way, I wonder, are we willing to fight as a church for what we want? Do we want to be a healthy church that God is proud of? If we do, then we need to be willing to fight for that kind of church. And the first step in becoming that kind of church is to know exactly what you want. What kind of mountain does this church want to conquer? What kind of church do we want to be for the community? You see, that's where casting a vision comes in. You see, we shouldn't wait for the next preacher to come along to cast a vision. We should already have a vision in place. Therefore, we can match up the preacher to help us accomplish what we want to do as a church. And once you cast that vision, then you don't stop until you get exactly what this church needs. Never settle for good enough, because good enough will never be great. If you want the church to become great in the eyes of the Lord, you have to be willing to fight for that greatness. And you know it's going to be a fight. It really will. Because there is an enemy out there who does not want us to succeed. Remember that the devil is our enemy. And he's going to do everything he can to frustrate us, to get us to quit. He wants to discourage us because he knows that if he can just disable this church here in Mountain City, then he will have his way with the people. And we cannot allow that to happen. We are in the middle of a battle, and we need to be able to move forward. We need to be able to fight for the Lord's church here in Mountain City. We should never quit because there are still people out there who need Jesus. We should never quit because the community needs a church that cares. We should never quit because this country needs a revival. We should never quit because our children need our support. We should never quit because the Lord is there to help us every step of the way. We should never quit because that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. And we should never quit because we don't want the devil to win. We should never quit because we're on the right side. We should never quit because the best is yet to come. I heard a story a few months ago about a woman who was diagnosed with a terminal illness. She had been given 3 months to live. So as she was getting her things in order, she contacted her pastor. And she had him come in, and she was given these different instructions for her final wishes. Well, she told which song she wanted to be sung at the service. She told what scripture she would like to be read. And she wanted to, picked out an outfit to be buried in. She even requested to be buried with her favorite Bible. Everything was in order, and the pastor was getting ready to leave, and then the woman suddenly remembered there was one more thing she needed. So she gets the pastor's attention. She says, "There's one more thing." The pastor turns, and he says, "What's that?" And she said, "Well, this is very important." She says, "Whenever I am buried, I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." Well, the pastor stood looking at the woman. He wasn't quite sure what to say. He's never really heard that before. So she said, "That surprises you, doesn't it?" And then she went on to explain, "In all my years of attending church, socials, potluck dinners, things like that," she said, "I always remember that when the dishes of the main course were being cleared, someone would inevitably lean over and say, 'Keep your fork.' It was my favorite part because I knew that something better was coming, like a velvety chocolate cake or a deep dish apple pie. Something wonderful and with substance. So I just want people to see me there in the casket with a fork in my hand, and I want them to wonder, 'What's up with this fork?' Then I want you to tell them, 'Keep your fork, because the best is yet to come.'" You see, that woman knew that heaven was on the other side for her. And that fork was a symbol to remind the people to get ready, because the best is yet to come. For those of us who have been baptized into Christ, we know that heaven is on the other side waiting for us. And that is the biggest reason why we should never give up on God. We should have the spirit of Caleb. We should have a warrior's heart that never quits. We should have the courage to pray to God. We should pray to God and we should say, "Give me this mountain. Give me Mountain City so I can conquer it for you." Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the fact that we can count on you to deliver on your promises. And I pray, Lord, you'll help us to step up so that we can deliver on ours too. For the day that we were baptized, we promised our lives to you, and now it's time for us to deliver. So we can live it for you. And I pray, Lord, you'll be with us during this invitation time. Help us, Lord, to be transformed into warriors for you, so we can fight for your church. I pray that you'll be with us during this invitation time. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.